Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 74 to 75. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So God saved us from Satan's hand so that we may serve him for all our days. For all our days. In the original Greek language, the word serving and the word ministry are two different words. And when the word talks about serving, in the original Greek, usually that word means it's towards God. It's towards the Lord, so it's a serving with holiness and with righteousness, with fear and with reverence. And when it talks about ministry, it's a different word in the language. The word ministry is towards people, it's focused on people, and especially being a servant, meant to please men, to serve men, and to benefit other people. So in this lesson, even though we talk about ministry, but really what we mean is serving. That is, what sort of service is God pleased with? What sort of ministry does the Lord desire? So these few weeks, we're going to talk about what sort of service that God is looking for. I know that many of us here, we love God and we want to serve him with all of our lives. And so these next few weeks, we're going to focus on this topic to really see and to learn what sort of service that God desires. Now let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17 to 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. About 10 years ago, I was reading this verse, and suddenly verse 18 stood out to me. We're all very familiar with verse 17, and a lot of us are so familiar we can memorize it. But that day I was reading verse 18, and it's like my eyes were suddenly opened. Many of us are very familiar with verse 17, that the kingdom of God is of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that means we need to live righteously and maintain the peace of God in our hearts, maintain peace with other people, pursue and seek peace with others, and also the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so in that way, we reveal the kingdom of God through our lives. But not just that. In verse 18, it says that whoever serves Christ in this way. So that means when we pursue the righteousness, the peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, we are actually serving Christ in that way. So when I read that, it's like my eyes were suddenly opened. We always know that this is the lifestyle that we should be living, is to pursue righteousness and peace and joy. But I didn't know that when we do these things, actually, we are also serving Christ. So let's look over these things one by one. Here it says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. Righteousness. The Bible says that there is no one on earth who is righteous. Only God is righteous. The word righteousness, it includes proper behavior, obeying God's will, that is righteousness. Also goodness, that is righteousness. Do you know that in this world, especially during these last days, often people despise poverty, but they do not despise injustice. But Father God especially needs his children to manifest his righteousness. In this end time generation, you will find more and more that there is no justice, no justice at all. But God said, in the area of righteousness, we must manifest God through our lives. And in this way, we are serving Christ. In Taiwan, we see a lot of the time when the government tries to start fighting against corruption, the government intends to report bribes, and suddenly there are whole groups of people who are arrested because of corruption. I studied finance and taxes, so when I graduated from school, this was a problem that I faced. One of my sisters from school told me that if you go to the IRS to work or a tax company in Taiwan, a lot of the time, the first day you go to your office, you sit down at your desk and you open the drawer. inside of your drawer is a red envelope. And if you don't take that envelope, if you don't take that money, basically you're like offending your entire department. Your supervisor will be offended. Your coworkers will be offended because everybody takes it. If you don't take it, it's like suddenly you have become a dangerous person to them. Unknowingly, you have become like a judgmental spectator to them, even though you don't have to say anything. And people will start to treat you with rejection and exclusion because they feel uncomfortable being around you, because you didn't take the bribe, you didn't take the money. Because one day, the informant or the whistleblower, it just might be you. So in order for you to hold fast to God's righteousness actually requires a big price. But praise God, because my sister in school, she was a Christian, and so she really held fast to righteousness in this way. But indeed, every day is not easy. Your supervisor might give you a cold front. Your coworkers will probably give you a negative face. But sometime later, and suddenly newspapers start publishing saying, reports have found that which and which departments accepted bribes. And oftentimes I noticed that in the list of names in that department, there is one person's name that is missing from the list. And a lot of the time, that person is a Christian, someone who loves the Lord. So when you are holding fast to God's righteousness, although there is a price you must pay, but when you do this, you are serving Christ. And you will realize when the moment comes. You see, God says, do not take revenge, but vengeance belongs to me. You see, in one act, in one situation, all of these people are arrested except that one person, that one Christian. So to hold fast, to stand firm for righteousness, it really does require a sacrifice. When I started working, I told my boss that I wouldn't lie. My boss's aunt was one of the directors, and she was not very happy. She said, "How can you not lie doing business?" So this one time, our company was going to be investigated by the Economic Inspection Bureau. We had two shipments arriving, and if the Economic Inspection Bureau were to investigate them, they would find that both shipments were unqualified. They wouldn't reach the required standard. So they wanted us to send them red envelopes, which means they wanted us to bribe them. So our boss said, okay, tomorrow we need to go quickly and give the red envelopes to them. But I couldn't see past it. I thought, how can the government do this? This is for the country's trade and foreign exchange. But they didn't care if your line of credit was expiring. All they wanted was that you bribe them, even if the shipments didn't pass the standard. And then they would have to wait a little while before they could come and investigate, because they couldn't investigate these shipments, because they would be unqualified. So I saw my boss that he was preparing the red envelopes to give to this agency. But I really did not feel that it was right. So I told him, no, don't bribe them. Tomorrow, let me go. I will go speak to this agency. So my boss said, okay, well then tomorrow you can go and you do not have to come to work. So the next day I went there. And in the lobby, I started drawing close to the Lord. And then I started praying, God, you have to go with me. It's a pretty difficult task, because it's not like they can say, yesterday these shipments did not meet the standard, and today they do. Because wouldn't that be like shooting themselves in the foot? You know, it seems impossible. So I prayed, God, you must go with me. Teach me what to say. And I started praying for the supervisor. And so they called me and I went up to talk to the supervisor. After that, I waited in the lobby, and in the afternoon, they sent somebody to me, said that they will investigate the shipments with me. And on the taxi, that person said to me, he said, I don't know who came to talk to our supervisor today. Our supervisor said that this investigation that we're doing is only for a formality. He said he already decided to pass the shipments without any conditions. You see how miraculous our God is? When we are willing to hold fast to God's righteousness, He works in the midst of it. And when we do this, we are serving Christ. Yeah, we are serving Christ. And so sometimes when I pick up the phone when I was in my office and it was for my boss and my boss would be next to me and he would whisper to me, he's like, tell them I'm not here. And I'd simply say to him, I'm sorry, I can't lie. And so I just hand him the phone. And then my boss is like, oh, I'm sorry, because he forgot that I already told him I can't lie. And then eventually, my boss's aunt even started to respect me because she had nothing bad to say about me. And so today, in this generation, God needs his children to manifest his righteousness, his justice, and also peace. It says that the kingdom of God is of righteousness and peace. This peace is talking about the peace that is inside of our hearts. And also, we need to have peace with ourselves. Some people are just not able to accept themselves, their appearance. Oh, I'm too tall, or I'm too short, I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny. Or maybe their educational background, family background, or even IQ. Why is it lower than other people? Or maybe even they do not accept their own gender. I just don't like to be a girl. Or I just don't like to be a boy. It's like you're just not able to accept yourself. And so if you're not at peace with yourself, then you cannot be at peace with other people. So we really need to accept how God created us, that he says that we are very good and we are very beautiful. This point is so important. We need to have peace with ourselves and to accept ourselves, embrace ourselves, saying, God, you created me good. God created each of us, each one for his unique destiny and function, and each person to manifest the glory of God. If someone cannot accept himself and he does not have peace with himself, you will realize that this person is unable to live at peace with others. Someone else doesn't even need to say anything. Just look at him. And because he already doesn't accept the way that he looks, he doesn't like his own appearance. And so immediately he'll think, this person doesn't like me. So you see, peace is so important. On one hand, we have to have peace with ourselves. On the other hand, we have to constantly maintain our inner peace. This is something that we often talk about in our sermons, that in whatever we are doing, we have to maintain the peace inside of our hearts. A lot of the time we think solving this problem is the most important thing right now. Or maybe we're thinking, I'm going to serve later, so I'm super nervous. But we still need to preserve that peace in our hearts. Otherwise, it's like ministry has become more important than peace. But God doesn't think that way. God said that his kingdom is about peace. Peace. Peaceful. So in our hearts, we need to preserve that inner peace. And that is why in the New Testament, in the book of Colossians, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called. And so what that's saying is that we were called for this purpose, so that the peace of God may rule in our hearts. So basically, God's peace is like our Lord, is like the host of our hearts. That is the most important thing. And so, brothers and sisters, when you're faced with a circumstance, what will you choose? Will you choose to be very nervous and anxious about getting that thing done? Or will you choose and say, God, I want to preserve your peace in my heart? When we preserve that peace, that is called serving Christ. And we are allowing God's kingdom to reign in our lives. Also, not only do we preserve the inner peace inside of our hearts, but also we must preserve the peace with other people. And that is why in the next verse, in verse 19, Paul says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another, right? So that is serving Christ. When we seek peace with other people, when we're doing that, we are serving Christ. Do you ever think about that? Or maybe you think, You know, whether or not I make peace with this person, it's just my business, right? I mean, that's just my own heart condition. But God said, if you're willing to seek peace, that is serving Christ. That is allowing God's kingdom to come into our lives. Satan's kingdom is always focused on division, strife, disagreement, trying to tear people apart, always focusing on the differences between you and other people, trying to tear relationships apart. The devil just wants us to divide. But God always wants us to unite. And so God wants us to seek peace and pursue it. This is serving Christ. So this shows us, if we are passionately serving God, but we always don't want to make peace with that certain somebody, or we are so on fire, but we don't want to seek peace with that coworker, then we're already not serving Christ. Isn't that so? It says, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. And next is the joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, so being joyful is also serving God. In these end times, it's especially so. Someone once told me when they came to church and they walked in, the usher smiled at them and just gave such a sweet and sincere smile. And it's like suddenly all of that cloud of gloominess, that heaviness from his workplace completely disappeared. So in this generation, God really needs his children to bring the joy of the Holy Spirit into your workplace, into your family, the joy of the Holy Spirit. A sister said that she often sings the song Procession of Overcomers at her workplace. The lyrics go, transcend my emotions, transcend my difficulties. And the more difficult her circumstances got, the more she sang. And so her coworkers one day asked her, why are you always so joyful? Why are you always so happy? This is such a great moment to share the gospel. So you see, this type of evangelism is the most practical, is the most realistic type of evangelism, is you bringing the kingdom of God into your workplace. And it makes people envy the kingdom of God. And that is why it says that for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That's why we need to pursue righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in our daily life, we always need to pursue these things inside of me and upon me. This is serving Christ. And also, it's really important that we don't lose our joy and lose our peace for the sake of serving Christ. Is that possible? Yes. A lot of people, they love God and they're so concerned about church matters. They're so concerned and so worried that they've lost their peace. They already lost their joy. But this type of service, it doesn't please God. So we gotta be careful. Next, let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 6. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. We read in this passage what it means to serve God. In verse 4, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. And so how does one know the word that sustains the weary? It's because this person is an instructable person, because this person was one who was instructed. It says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. And so that is, he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear. He reminds me to listen like one being instructed. So in other words, how well someone can serve other people. He can sustain the weary. He can bless people and become refreshing, a blessing to other people. It depends a lot on whether this person, that he is a teachable person, he has a listening ear. Once, Teacher Robinson came to Pastor Ulao and told him of a young man who wanted to give his life to serve the Lord full time. And Pastor Ulao didn't ask, oh, is he familiar with the Bible? Does he have a lot of spiritual gifts? He didn't ask any of these things. He only asked one question. Can you tell him anything? And basically that's asking, does he have a listening ear? Can other people tell him things? You know, that is what this verse is talking about. If somebody cannot be corrected by other people, then this person is not an instructable person. And God will not be able to use this person greatly. And that's why it's so important to listen. In the verse, it says that he has an instructable ear, a listening ear. And that is the reason why he has a well-instructed tongue. And that is why when we serve God, who we are is so important. Am I able to be corrected? Do I have a listening ear? But if I don't have an instructable ear, then the things that I say, other people won't be able to accept it either. You know, parents are a good example of this. If a parent does not have a listening ear towards the Lord, or they don't like to listen to the pastor, you'll realize that a lot of their children don't listen to their parents. This is the way God works. This principle is carried down in many ways. And if you are a teacher and you find the same thing happening in your classroom, that your classroom doesn't listen to you, the first thing you must do is come before God and repent. Say, Lord, it must be because I don't have a listening ear towards you. And that is why my classroom does not have a listening ear towards me. And then you will see God work in your classroom. Therefore, someone who wants to serve God, unless he has an instructed ear, and unless he has a humble attitude, God is not able to use someone like that. So let's see how Isaiah says it. He says, the Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. What does it mean to have an open and listening ear? It means that when we listen and we hear the word, no matter how difficult it is to obey, we go and obey it. Sometimes God will give us a command, or he'll tell us to do something that inside we just really don't want to do it. Yet Isaiah says, I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. God can only use people like this. Also, it reads, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. So sometimes the message that God wants to give to those who serve him, that message is often not a very welcoming message to a lot of people. God may tell you to speak a certain message in the public, or perhaps to somebody in private. And it's very possible that this message is one that causes people to get so angry at you that they want to pull out your beard, that they want to abuse you, that they insult you, mock you, and even spit at you. But as those who serve the Lord, we cannot be rebellious, nor can we turn away. We must obey. So God really wants to use people like this. Today, my burden for sharing this message is really that when God is looking for people to serve him, he is really looking at who we are. It's not about our skills or our gifts. He is looking for the type of people that he can use. So we must have a listening ear, and that is no matter how difficult our command is, no matter how difficult what the Lord is telling us to do is to obey, we must obey it to the very end. And the word that the Lord wants us to spread, the message that God wants us to share with others, no matter how much people hate it, even that they hit me, even that they abuse and mock me, I must still obey it. Let's ask ourselves this honest question. Am I the type of person that is very afraid of offending other people, and I'm constantly trying to please other people? Because if that is the case, then you will not be able to truly serve God. Because oftentimes, God might just want you to share a message, one that offends other people. So on this point, those who serve God, we have to be very careful. Many times people are not willing to obey God. They're not willing to truthfully spread the message that God has given to them. God says, this is beneficial to the other person. Go and tell him. But then you say, no, I'm so embarrassed to say it. I'm too scared. I'm scared that they will get mad at me. It's these sort of things that causes God's will to be unable to be abundantly established in his house. It is these sort of things that causes his children to often miss out on his blessing. All because people are not truly willing to obey the word of God. Now let's look at another verse in Book of Acts 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The context of this verse is talking about choosing seven people who will be in charge of the food distribution. And so what are the requirements for choosing these seven people? The first requirement is that he have a good reputation. A good reputation. Oh, but the first qualification for managing food should be good culinary skills. I mean, isn't that true? He should be quick. That way he will be able to cut the vegetables very quickly and provide enough food for everybody. But God said no. God said the first is good reputation. But what does good reputation have to do with cooking? Can you eat a good reputation? You're cooking for so many people. If you have a good reputation, but you work so slowly, then what good is that? But God said number one is good reputation. But what if you have a good reputation, but your food tastes horrible? Then what use is that? People don't like to eat it. But still, God said good reputation. And so we see in all of our service, what is it that God cares the most about? It's who we are as a person. Who we are. So even if your culinary skills are excellent, but you do not have a good reputation, you just might cook food for everybody, but they refuse to eat it. Because someone might say, if someone like that can serve in the church, then I don't even want to be a part of it. And so brothers and sisters, this is something we have to be aware of. And we can ask ourselves on this point. Sometimes our personality is one that's very unrestrained. You don't care what other people think about you. And so someone comes and tells you, you know, the thing that you did there was a little bit insensitive. It was a little rough. Maybe you should be a little careful next time. And you say, whoa, I don't care. I don't care about that. Whatever you say, I don't care. That is not correct. Having a good reputation means that you should care what other people think. Isn't that true? The Bible says that the children of God shine as lights of the world. As lights of the world, holding fast to the word of life. So the word of life is not just a message that you speak with your mouth, although we must speak it with our mouth. But more importantly, it's something that we express through our lives. In your workplace, in your home, do you have a good reputation? This is very important. The Bible says that including all the ministers in the house of God, the number one qualification he chooses is good reputation. So brothers and sisters, we must be careful. If our family members or our coworkers say to us, you probably really need to work on this thing, you need to change that, that's probably not very good, then we must pay attention. Instead of thinking, oh, it doesn't matter, I don't care about my image. It's not about caring about our image. It's for the sake that God's kingdom values and lifestyle is expressed through us. So whenever your parents give you a correction or your siblings correct you on a certain point, you have to care. Don't say, I don't care. You should care. Otherwise, you won't have a good reputation in your home. Again, I have to say it, in your home, with your family, besides being a Christian, even if they disagree with your faith, but you must be blameless in all your other matters. This is something that you must attain. Therefore, good reputation is very important. Also, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing adjective. It doesn't mean I was filled with the Holy Spirit before. It requires that this person is often and constantly filled by the Holy Spirit. Someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And so that you can see the Holy Spirit's leadership and presence upon this person's life. The Holy Spirit's leadership means that this person is not like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. No, the Holy Spirit restrains him because the Holy Spirit's leadership is upon his life. That is someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. There is someone managing his inner house. He has a master within him. It is the Holy Spirit's leadership over him. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, full of wisdom. And then you ask, why do you need to be full of wisdom to cook food? If you need to cook food, just cook food. But no, all of the service in God's house requires that one be full of wisdom, meaning that you are good at managing things. How can you cook enough food for several thousand people and not be wasteful or have too many left over or not cook enough food? And also, how not to spend the money of God's house recklessly? Some people think, it's just the church's money anyways. If I'm buying for myself, I will usually look for a discount. But since it's just the church's money anyways, then I don't really need to look for a discount. That is abusing people's generosity. Abusing God's generosity, isn't it? That's not how it should be. Full of wisdom. Good at managing God's money. How can I use this amount of money to cook enough food for this amount of people and so that it's still healthy and delicious? Brothers and sisters, this pertains to all of our service. If any of you want to serve God, but you think, I'm just not very smart, I'm not very wise, you can ask God. The Bible says that anyone who lacks wisdom can ask for it from God. God cares that you have a willing heart to serve him. However, all of the service in God's household requires that we use our brain. Use our brain. Don't just go and do it. That is, in all of these different areas, how can I do it in the most excellent way? Everyone who serves God should always aim to do things better and better. Don't do things in a rough manner or carelessly. This has a lot to do with being full of wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom to manage this thing and manage that. In everything that we do, we should always be doing it better and better. So in all of these verses that we're reading, we discover God, he cares so much about the type of person we are.